interest for the SEC. And by interesting, kind of what we saw it as, and nothing amazing happened.
Other than Mississippi State, I missed the ball on that one, but
we're bound to be wrong once, right?
Well, really, that game was not even close.
No, it really wasn't.
The score did not indicate the game.
I mean, no.
LSU had to roll off 19 in a row to even make it respectable. By the time they did that, the stadium was empty.
Right.
Which, I don't know, you rarely see. And if they did that in Athens, I'm sure that would have been front page news around here. But they have a reputation in the real Death Valley to be a great group of fans, so I guess they're entitled to leave.
The real, so you're not giving Clemson credit?
No.
Really? Have you been to Clemson?
No, they are a Death Valley.
You give LSU the credit on that one.
They are the Death Valley.
Okay. I haven't been to LSU. I'd like to go. I have a buddy that's working down that way right now. Actually, one of our insiders, and he's down that way doing some stuff. Hope to hear from him soon with some insider stuff, maybe. But he said it's a really cool stadium, and I haven't been to it. I've been to Clemson twice.
I haven't been either one, but if just based from the outside looking in, how many visiting teams go to LSU and leave with a victory?
It's true. You can say the same thing about the Superdome when the Saints play. It's something about Louisiana.
And so how many people go to Clemson without the P?
Exactly.
Just Clemson.
Yeah.
How many go there and leave with a victory? The percentage is a little bit higher.
Yep, that's true.
Clemson.
Yeah.
So that's why I call them the real Death Valley. I mean, I know Clemson has a history of Harvey's Rock or Henry's Rock. Howard's Rock? I think it's Howard's Rock.
Forgot the name of the rock, but...
They got broken.
But I've seen it before. So, that game, I mean, 34-29, though. I mean, that's closer than I thought it would be.
34-10. What, you thought Mississippi State was going to just blast them?
Well, no. I mean, it's only 5 points, too.
I'm just saying LSU had to roll off 19 in a row.
Yeah, that's true.
To get there.
Yeah.
It was over. Prescott showed out.
Right. Is he the best in the SEC?
He's playing the best. I mean, him and Trill.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the two.
And right now, honestly, as big a surprise as Mississippi State has been this year, I mean, you kind of got to say Dak Prescott may be the best in the SEC right now.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to give him any kind of award yet. He could possibly, I mean, I don't think he's in a Heisman watch yet, but he keeps this up, and we may be talking about it.
Oh, you're going to have to. Just because of the gauntlet, he has to run in the West.
Right.
Because if they have two losses.
Right.
At the end of the year, that's going to be better than anyone thought. You know, Mullen's already packing his bags heading for Jacksonville. So
the
writing's on the wall there. And, you know, Sims had a great game himself. Threw for the most passing yards in Alabama since the 60s.
Now, the odd thing for me on that Alabama game is at one point he gets dinged up. Sims was on the sideline a little bit. We got to finally see Mr. JUCO should have been starter. And he didn't look half bad either.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if that's a reflection on the Gators' defense or Mr. Kiffin's game plan.
You know, I'm going to, and it's not because I don't want to knock Florida, because I felt like they finally fell flat towards the end of it. Because they were doing a good job of keeping up for a long time. I really thought, hey, the potential's here, but they got to keep it up. I'm going to give the credit to the Saban system and to Lane Kiffin and whoever the quarterback coach is that I just, for the sake of me, can't remember. I'm going to say they developed the JUCO transfer along with his skills.
Yeah.
You know, look at the system they set up for quarterbacks.
It's the process.
Yes.
It's all about the process. And all.
Everybody at Alabama is a system whatever,
but
and that's not a knock on. They know how to run the tight ship.
At the beginning of that game, Alabama did everything they could to just give Florida a fighting chance.
Yeah, they did everything but throw the ball in the end zone.
Those fumbles, I mean, that was just, I think at one point, oh God, I should have wrote it down. There might have been four possessions, two fumbles, and three touchdowns, something like that.
Yeah,
all in a matter of like
right, there in about a 9 yard, I mean,
90 seconds.
Yeah.
Just ugly. But Alabama, they don't get rattled.
No.
Saban's not happy when they're winning. He's not happy when they're losing.
No.
He's pretty much just a grump the whole time.
Yeah.
And that seems to work.
I think that's part of why he actually added Lane Kiffin, if you think about it, because he can kind of be the outspoken mouthpiece, and he can jump in and be excited and save and go, talk to him.
Yeah, and that's probably one of the reasons why he didn't want to let him up in the booth this year.
True. Yeah, he wants him down with him.
Because Kiffin, I think he wants to be a booth guy, but he told him no. And I think the other OCs in the previous years have been in the booth. But
right.
I think he also wanted to, you know, have Kiffin's ear.
It's true.
And be kind of close to the process, so to speak. I keep saying the process. process. He doesn't really focus on the game. He focuses on the play. You win each play, and then it adds up.
Right.
But nonetheless, Florida's in trouble. Apparently, they're going to go with Driscoll, no matter what.
Yeah, and I think at this point, even if you're Muschamp, I think he's going to give you your best shot, and you're pretty sure that you may not be there at the end of the season or for next year. So I'm gonna ride the pony.
But 9-28 being your best shot, I mean, that's not.
No, it's not good at all.
That's not Florida football.
But you also have to look at the turnovers, especially as far as a couple of the fumbles and a couple of the tip passes and stuff like that. You can't say those were just Driscoll's fault. One of them may have been, but not the other three or four. And they're also going against number 3 Alabama.
Alabama as well.
So, I mean, you know, there's some added pressures and everything there.
I think it's starting to show that Mr. Peace was not the issue.
No.
I'll just leave it at that.
Right.
And Mr. Roper is not the answer.
I would agree there. You know, 42-21 was the score there. I felt Florida, even though they're 2-1, they've split their two-game series so far in the SEC. They are on the east side. The east side, to me, looks like they're going to play spoiler to the west a couple times. But as strong as the west looks and everything, we'll kind of roll over some of these games and then and preview some of the other ones coming up. There are a couple that to actually watch, but we'll get to them in a minute.
Well,
you know, Auburn cruised past Kansas State, even though the score was a lot closer, 2014. But
Kansas State had every opportunity.
Yeah, they did. I mean, it was the same thing as we said with Alabama and Florida. Auburn practically did everything but give them the ball in the end zone.
Well, that was what Kansas State was doing to Auburn.
Right.
I mean, they were just that first drive, that pass to Lockett. I mean, he's got to make that catch.
Now, this game did show me that I'm still up in the air about how strong Auburn is, but you know that they're ranked number 5. That's a little generous, but you know that'll work out in the wash.
Well, yeah. At this point, the rankings are meaningless. I guess it really matters weeks 9-12, maybe 9-13. I don't know how many weeks actually have it scheduled for. But, you know, Auburn was held under 100 yards rushing.
Yeah, which
by a Kansas State team. I won't put an adverb in front of it or anything like that.
We're not saying that Kansas State is necessarily bad.
No, but they are.
They're not amazing.
No.
They're a middle-of-the-pack team. I mean,
that's
come
the
in ranked 20th.
That's the game I expected.
Right.
I mean, I didn't expect Auburn to run away with it, and I expected Kansas State to fight for it. And like I said, they had every opportunity. They just and Auburn, you know, they've been skating by the past 15, 16 games, and in the end, it's a W. It doesn't matter how you do it, especially
on
the road.
It is what it is. What Bill Parcells says, you are what your record says you are.
Yeah.
I kind of have to agree.
And that ridiculous stat of top 5 teams playing on Thursday, what are they, like 4-7 in the past?
Yeah.
It was some crazy stat. It was just unbelievable.
Crazy.
So just to escape with a win.
Yeah.
It really bodes well for them. Even though losing wouldn't have mattered in the big picture, because still, you win the conference, you're going to be in the playoff. So, grand scheme of things, it wouldn't have hurt them to lose, but it sure as heck doesn't hurt to win. It really builds on their confidence because they've got a tough schedule. They've got the meat of the schedule coming up.
Right, and you know, obviously we'll come back to that game in a minute, being the barn burner that one is, that particular game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, number 6 Texas A&M rolls over SMU. The fact that SMU only got 2 field goals, one at the end of each half pretty much, surprised me. I felt like they put up at least maybe 15 points.
Well, their head coach just quit, though.
Right. And Texas A&M still looking strong, whether you say cupcake game or not. You know, like we said, win's a win. They're 4-0 in the West.
Well, it's, you know, one of those bye-week games. You get to trot out the underclassmen.
Hey, that's definitely good, you know, though. You're getting them the experience and everything. Missouri coming in at 18, they didn't really play so well at Indiana. I guess that was the bigger upset in the SEC is that Missouri, you know,
that was at home, wasn't it?
Lost at home, 31-27. You know, Indiana marched in and said, "Hey, we're not slouches, guys."
I know that the end of that game, some people raised some eyebrows, raised some voices about that pass interference call. Basically, they were walking off the field and the flag came out. But that really, Indiana's not even supposed to.
No.
Be in it at that point.
Yeah, they weren't supposed to be in that game. And you know, whether you win by 400, 1, half a point, if you win by a K camel hair, whatever it is.
You got to take care of business, and they didn't. And but once again, it's not a conference loss.
No.
So it's a good learning experience. They probably weren't going to go undefeated anyway.
Right.
But they're still unbeaten in the conference.
Has Missouri even played an SEC game yet?
I don't think so.
I don't think they have.
No. But that's good to get that loss out of the way.
Right. This is the best time to really lose.
Yes.
From here on out, you got about another week or so to sneak one in if you're going to have one.
Yeah.
If not, you're kind of diminishing your chances to really make an impact.
Yeah. You know, Carolina had some issues this weekend too. South Carolina did.
Yes.
Spurrier gave another vintage Spurrier post-game press conference. But they allowed two kick returns and touchdowns to Vanderbilt.
Hey, you know what, Vanderbilt? The fact you put up 34 on South Carolina, 14th ranked South Carolina, who upset the Dogs the week before.
It's mystifying.
I mean, good for Vanderbilt. Like I said, they're building this program, and the fact that they're making splashes here and there, Vandy, be excited. This is a good time for you.
Yeah, and because there's nothing expected.
No.
They're fully in all-out rebuild mode.
Now, if they were a pro team, I mean, you're almost saying, hey, we're going to have a great draft pick next year. But at this point, you're like, anything we get is progress.
Yes.
And you guys are making tremendous progress.
Yes, and I mean, they did a good job, but that South Carolina team is mystifying to me.
Yeah.
Just the way they find a way to beat Georgia. Really, I'm kind of over it. I didn't really vent about it last time that we got together to talk football. But that South Carolina team is, I don't know about them. They're going to have some issues coming up.
Yeah, I definitely agree there.
They've got a difficult schedule.
They do, and not just that, but, you know, they are what the record says they are, but they're also not as good as their stats would tell you.
No. And
we're going to, I mean, you know, Vandy technically was only 12 points out of this. There's going to be maybe a Kentucky, maybe a something else that could sneak up and smack them.
It was 14-0 though, Vanderbilt, right?
Yes, they opened up in the first. And then 17 unanswered to finish the half by South Carolina.
Yeah.
But still, 17-14, it's like, hey. And then they both had 10 in the third. And then South Carolina pulled ahead with 21 points to Vandy's 10 in the fourth.
Well,
but, you know, the fact that all but the second quarter, Vandy has points, and they held them scoreless in the first, they were onto something. They showed this can actually be done.
Yes. At 14-0, I mean, that's a good start. They didn't have the depth to finish it. Probably won't have the depth for another two to three recruiting classes.
Right. But, I mean, Vandy fans, we shouldn't be getting any hate mail for at least the next week or so, because we just spent at least 5 minutes telling you that you almost beat South Carolina and that it's actually looking very bright and very good there. And we're not lying by saying that, because I'm not here to puff smoke at people.
No, and I, you know, they've got that East schedule.
Yeah.
And the East
is the weaker side right
now.
Well,
there's always going to be a weaker.
Right.
I mean, there's always someone that's going to be first and always someone who will be second.
Right.
That's just the nature of the beast. But right now, the East is weaker. That doesn't mean that's where it'll shake out.
Right.
Because those West teams are going to cannibalize each other.
Yes.
They won't all go undefeated.
No.
They got to start playing
each
other.
I mean, you know, speaking of another West team, Arkansas rolled over Northern Illinois, but this was the Northern Illinois team that come in 2-0 on the road and 3-0 overall. So, I mean, it's not like they were necessarily slouches either.
No, and they've been one of those MAC teams that have kind of given people some issues. Size-wise, depth-wise,
right.
Really not SEC caliber.
And what's helping Arkansas is that they're getting back to the days of when they were super powerhouses. You run the ball, you run the ball, you run the ball, sets up the passing game.
Yeah.
Suddenly you put 52 on the board.
Well, yeah, they've got A&M this weekend, though.
We'll talk about that one in a minute.
Because
I'm not going to call it, but I'm going to say it's going to be closer than it
would
appear.
That's a clash of two styles, to say the least.
Yes. That is an Army Navy type matchup or an Army Air Force type matchup.
Yeah. Or
ground versus air.
Yes. Hawaii versus
Georgia Southern.
There we go. So one of those. Houston versus Georgia Tech. Just one guy's going to air it out. One guy's going to ground it out.
Right. And to get into the barn burner of a game that I got to see a good bit of, I know you did as well. You know, Troy was right in this game against Georgia. I'm sorry, I can't even keep a straight face when I say that.
Yeah.
You know, Troy has some issues, and they're trying to work it out. They do have a pretty good defense. It was torched,
yeah.
Mainly by the ground, which is good because Georgia should be running the ball because that's where their strength is.
Right.
And just like I called, Mr. Mason was under 215.
Oh,
he finished with 97 passing yards,
yes.
Even though they scored 66 points.
Well, and you know, I heard Coach Rick say today, or it might have been yesterday, the game plan was to throw a lot more. They really wanted to come out and toss it around.
But when the run game goes that well, you don't stop doing it.
They couldn't help it. And you know, when Gurley only has 6 carries, and you still end up with over 320 yards rushing.
Oh yeah.
There's really no way.
And did Chubb even get in the game? I don't remember seeing him. Did he?
He had 1-2 carries maybe.
Okay, so the thumb must be good.
No, it was wrapped up in a humongous ball.
Well, but still, I mean, the thumb must be okay if he's playing.
I don't want him carrying the ball with that thing.
No, I don't.
Not at all.
But
Sony showed up.
Who was the other guy that came in?
From Georgia?
Ramsey maybe?
Bryce Ramsey. He didn't look bad. Yeah, he kind of...
I'm not saying he should start over Mason. Georgia fans don't.
No, he kind of alleviated any fears as to, you know, if Hudson gets his bell rung for a couple plays. It's not quite as scary to me.
Or even Phaeton Balta, who is right off the Enterprise here with a name like that. That's an awesome name, by the way. But, you know, 2 for 3, 17 yards. He did pretty well as well.
He had 2 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the depth there, and that's always been the question at Georgia is the depth.
Yeah.
They look pretty good at that position.
I kind of question Ramsey's ability, not for anything I've seen in college. It's just watching him in high school, and he played in a wing T offense, which is not really anything close to what Georgia plays now.
No.
So I kind of had questions about it, but he seemed to pick it up. He's been there. He's got a red shirt under his belt. I was really glad not to see Jacob Park get in. You know, I know I'm going really in-depth if I'm getting down the fourth string red shirt.
Yes.
But he hadn't been redshirted yet. I was really glad not to see him in. But depth-wise, Georgia looked okay. A lot of drops on Troy's behalf. They could have had a lot more yardage. They didn't. Georgia got a shutout. There's really nothing bad you can say about a shutout.
Right.
Beat a team worse than they have since the 60s. Might have been the mid-50s. Yeah.
What's been funny to me is the parallels
between
the Falcons and Georgia. Even though Georgia's got a weak head start, if you throw out week one, they are almost dang near dead even on how they're acting. And it's really funny. And they're winning for the same reasons.
Oh, yeah.
They're both running the ball successfully. They're, you know, except for on the Falcons half, Matt Ryan has been airing it out. But that's another show completely. But it's been really funny that they're paralleling just like they did last year.
Yes, they did, except for 12 losses. But
right.
They were, the performance-wise, I will have to agree with that. And it's funny how it just ends up like that most every year. It's just odd. But, you know, even the week one for both teams, Georgia had an unexpected performance, I mean, at least in my opinion, and Atlanta had an unexpected performance pulling that win out.
Right.
They could have easily lost, but they didn't.
Right.
Now they're 2-0 in the division already. You know,
I mean, you know, and as we talk about these upcoming games, there are actually 4 SEC versus SEC matchups.
Yes.
We're going to go over the other 3 non-conference games real quick. Are we in agreement that LSU is going to roll over New Mexico State?
Yes.
I like New Mexico State, but that's typically in the NCAA bracket, not in...
I would take the points.
Yeah.
Whatever LSU's giving up.
Yeah, because Les Miles is going to have them fired up.
Yes, certainly.
I think we can agree that Ole Miss is going to probably roll over Memphis as well.
Yeah, they're going to be looking forward to next week.
Yes.
Well, I know that's another show, but they have Alabama in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's
and they're top 10, so
I mean, you
I
know,
think
this
back.
This could be a 3 versus 5 matchup or something.
They might be back.
Auburn, Louisiana Tech. Once again, Auburn will be able to tune up for next week's game. I think they have somebody hard too, do they not?
No, they're getting into the meat of their schedule.
They have LSU next week actually.
Yeah.
After this week, so yeah, they're going to tune up for that one.
Yeah, so LSU and Auburn are really going to be trying to work out the kinks.
So in the games with only one SEC team, we definitely have the SEC rolling there.
Oh, certainly.
Vandy and Kentucky, the way Vanderbilt's playing. This could be a close nail-biter.
Where is that? I didn't see.
That's in Kentucky.
I'll take Kentucky.
Yeah, I'm still going to take Kentucky in it, but I'm going to say that, you know,
They won't give it to that kid returner.
No, I don't think you can.
You gotta watch Stamps for Kentucky though, man. That guy's making plays. Number one.
Yeah, you definitely do. South Carolina is gonna host Missouri.
That's a big game in the East.
That's got potential. I mean, Missouri has a shot here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, nobody.
I mean, especially the way South Carolina has kind of been exposed on some of the weaknesses. Missouri could trounce in here and pull this one out.
And if they didn't just lose to Indiana, I would go ahead and say take Missouri.
Yeah. But, given the performances up to this point, I think you just have to say Spurrier gets a slight half nod here.
Well, they're at home, and they're tough to beat at home.
Yes, they are.
If it was in the other Columbia, then I would take Missouri. But since they're in South Carolina's Columbia,
I think we're both in agreement. Did you have to go South Carolina and then Kentucky, both home teams?
Well,
there.
And also to stay on South Carolina, if they lose, they're three games behind Missouri.
Yes, which pretty much takes them out of it.
Well, as far as Missouri's concerned,
right.
So they'll have to pray that Missouri gets into, loses to Tennessee and Florida, and then A&M is their perennial matchup, annual matchup. I don't know what the proper word is for that, but
I think perennial.
They're automatic. Yeah. Like the same way Auburn is with Georgia.
Right. They're staple game or something, I guess. I'm trying to find that word you're looking for, but I can't think of it either.
It's traditional. It's one of those old words. Yeah.
This first day of fall has been nice, so sometimes I've been a little scrambled today.
I know. I barely even broke a sweat today.
I know.
Barely.
Still happened.
Yeah, I did sweat, for all you listening.
But, another game we're not really sweating out, but it is the SEC matchup. Arkansas is going to go to College Station, Texas, and take on Texas A&M. And, Arkansas at 3-1, they're 0-1 in the SEC, but 3-1, if they get back to running the ball,
they're going to run the ball.
Once again, we're looking at Arkansas on the ground, Texas A&M in the air.
Yeah.
This could be really fun.
It's a
3:30? Yeah, 3:30 start on CBS. I feel like this game's going to be on most local channels.
Arkansas has really yet to make a statement with the new coaching regime. And they're going to look at this. I mean, I don't know when the last time I could have watched Arkansas was. If I wanted to.
If you had SEC Network, you could have watched it over the weekend, but I think it was a replay game. It wasn't even live there.
Okay, that's what
And it was nothing personal to Arkansas, but there was like three big SEC games on at the same time.
Yeah, that's...
And one was on like CBS or ESPN, and like one wasn't even on anywhere. And I think that was the Arkansas game, and then the SEC Network was showing the other game.
That's kind of the fact I was alluding to. Like, they haven't had the stage.
Yes.
And the opportunity.
And I feel like they're going to have one sometime this year.
Well, here it is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm more than likely this is going to be at least on the local SEC CBS affiliates.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to call this because Texas A&M has not shown me that they could give up a ton on the ground and still lose.
No, A&M minus 10. I don't know what the line is, but that's...
I think you do take A&M here, either straight away or the points.
Yeah, I mean, at home, they've got the quarterback who's playing best in the country. I mean, you can coin flip it with him and Mariota.
Yeah.
But I don't see A&M going down to the wire with Washington State. I mean, that's just...
Yeah.
They do have a pirate for head coach, and it was National Talk Like a Pirate Day last week. So that might have had
something to do with
it. I
totally missed that one, too. I didn't find out till like 11:50 that night, and I snuck in a few little jokes here and there, I believe, and called it a day.
I'd be willing to bet that Mr. Leach brought that up at practice.
I bet he did.
It's a pirate's life for him.
It is. And as we cruise into the last game we're going to talk about, just the kind of small little matchup. I mean, there's probably not a big rivalry between these guys. It's the Tennessee Volunteers will be between the hedges with the Georgia Bulldogs. I mean, these guys really don't hate each other, right?
Well, I know Georgia's won four in a row, so it kind of might take the wind out of the sails of the rivalry a little bit. But I remember a time in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, Tennessee had won 8-9 in a row. I think it got up to 9 in a row.
Wow.
That's the last Georgia game I went to when Quincy Carter went to bed in Athens. I think Georgia might have been 6 and Tennessee was 4.
Was a man named Manning on the other sideline?
No.
Okay.
That was...
Wait, Quincy
T. Martin, I think. I think that was
okay.
the year they won
okay.
the national title.
Man, whatever happened to that guy?
Does
he build playgrounds like Tim Couch does?
Car wash. He's got a car wash in Knoxville.
Or at least a car lot, maybe.
Right, probably.
Probably both. He might wash your car and sell
it. Hey, corner of the market.
Hey, I'd love to have a car lot myself.
Yeah, Tennessee, we spoke about this in the preseason breakdowns. They were replacing every starter on both lines, and they have a ways to go, but none of that really matters.
No.
They might have a sour taste in their mouth from the way they lost that game last year, because they really had the game won if the running back didn't throw the ball out of bounds. But
you know,
Georgia's also going to be sour as well, because they suffered three knee injuries in that game last year. Two of them season ending.
Yes.
Keith Marshall, Scott Wesley. Michael Bennett got hurt, but it wasn't season ending for him.
No.
And so that game was very close, a lot closer than a lot of people felt it should have been. I'm not going to say the word a lot, too many times a lot, but it was a lot closer.
It was a lot
closer than some people thought it should have been. They really had to storm back at the end of that game. They had to block a punt. But they really had to have a little magic. They fell short. But it's in Athens this year, and they've got that stable of running backs heated up. They got a chance to stretch their legs this week, kind of get some rest in. Gurley only had 6 carries, no catches, no kick returns. So
I'm okay with that, given the way the game played out and the way it was going anyway.
I'm saying that as a positive.
Yes, yes.
Because Gurley,
there's no need to overwork him.
Well, no. I mean, you saw Marshall limped off. I mean,
he was having a big day.
Yeah, I mean, that Florida connection with Isaiah, Hema Joystick, and Sony out of Plantation, Florida, which is just a factory of outstanding football talent. Those two have really made a difference. I mean, they have collectively 5 touchdowns in the past 2 games, which is that's not too bad.
No, it's definitely not. And
for 18-year-olds.
I'm just going to throw this out there, but I mean, I clearly have Georgia in this game, and I'm probably 99.9% sure you do as well. There is a way Georgia can lose this game.
Oh, yeah. Play Georgia football.
Yeah. If they get away from running and try to air it out a good bit, it could slow down their offense a little bit. And you know what? Justin Worley is not afraid to air the ball out. They got a couple receivers that are almost one's to the 135 mark, one's 173. Got a lot of guys right around 100. They really like to throw it around a lot of places and really get everybody involved. So,
oh, really?
If Georgia tries to air it out and Tennessee tries to match them, if this becomes an air raid, it's going to be a lot closer.
Well, yeah, and, you know, key is for Tennessee, throw it in the middle of the field, because it's going to be wide open. About 15, 20 yards past the line of scrimmage, it's going to be wide open. Until they adjust that, until they fix that on defense, I'm going to be pessimistic as far as their ability to cover. As far as Georgia's passing game, Hudson Mason has been high and behind all year.
Yes.
A lot of these catches these guys are making are spectacular catches when they should be right in stride.
Right.
And high and behind is a recipe for an interception.
Well, the good thing is that this week we learned that the depth behind him is, in case something happens,
it's,
I'm not calling for his head.
It's
way too early.
Capable.
Yes. At least Georgia fans know that if Mason continues to do this, that they may look and go, you want to take a shot?
Yeah. And that's not really Mark's game, but I'm more comfortable now, like I said earlier. If he gets his bell rung and has to miss 3-4 plays, it won't be like Christian LeMay's coming in there.
No.
That guy,
it will not be the Joe Cox story part 2.
No. Although I have been calling number 14 Hudson Cox lately, but just put it online. I could talk forever about the breaking down of Georgia, because I watched every play Saturday, rewound a lot of it, and even complained about some of the stuff that they missed, even though it was 66-0.
Yes.
I really, before the game started, just asked for 60 points and a shutout. So I didn't say it on the show.
No.
But
you may have said it in text. I'll have to look back. But I think I remember you saying that, honestly. And I was like, I could see that.
Yeah.
And you got your wish, so that's great.
Yeah, that's what they needed. It was their a nice scrimmage game to get ready for the start of well, not the start, the continuation of the conference play.
Correct.
Divisional play. They got to win this game. I mean, Tennessee's not out of anything at all.
No, no.
They've still, I mean, the East is up for grabs. The West is up for grabs as well.
Yes.
They all play each other. I mean, nothing is set in stone yet. That's the funny part about everyone saying they want to be fired after week three. I guess we're on week four now.
Yes, we are.
I keep breaking it down.
Five, actually.
We're on week five?
Yeah.
Oh, this Saturday will be week five. Sorry.
Yes, yeah, the coming up week. Yes. Not week. Everybody has played three or four
we're
games.
We're covering week four currently.
Yes.
All right.
That's the one we recap, yes.
Right.
It gets confusing with this.
It does. And plus, I listen to so many people talk about stuff all day. It's just, I get in that fine bomb black hole where I put them on. I say, God, I'm going to fall asleep. And he just lets his callers go and go, I'm going to call in soon enough. Because he won't hang up on you, that's for sure.
Yeah, that has been proven. And that's awesome. A lot of people love that dump button. He
yeah.
is, I think he likes to wait on it, so
yeah,
that's cool.
He lets them go, and I think that's his thing, though.
Yeah.
He's got to have a thing, because, God,
he does.
He drills on and on and on.
That's fun. It's interesting to watch him sometimes. You got to be committed.
That's a word you could use, for sure.
When he's on the SEC Network.
Yes.
It's interesting. Now, I can listen, but if I'm sitting there trying to watch, then sometimes I'm wanting to call in myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been calling that 92.9 show on Saturday nights.
That's good, because our friends at 92.9.
I like that show. I never really discovered it until this year when I was, you know, coming home after the games.
Yeah.
You know, earlier, I mean, I guess we could, back when I was a married man, I wasn't out watching games and driving home afterwards, so I wasn't listening to the talk radio on the way home. So
right.
I never really got to discover the late night talk radio.
Right.
I mean, I'm all over talk radio, you know, 6:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., so that's nothing new.
Oh, yeah, we all are.
But I do enjoy that 92.9 show on Saturday nights and Sunday nights. It's I'm not sure which guy it is. I think they rotate, they switch it up, so whatever show that is, keep doing the good work. They switch it up.
I'm trying to think.
Past couple weeks, I've one of them.
You know, because I was lucky enough, just a quick tidbit about them. I was lucky enough to meet Mark Zeno, whichever way you want to say it, over the Thursday at the Dome, actually. They were out there doing a broadcast, and I stopped by to talk to Jamal Anderson and Chuck Smith, who are friends of the other show, the End Zone, Falcon Zone,
yeah.
Super Pro Football Show. And they were there with Mark, and I was able to meet him. He's a really cool guy. I enjoy listening to him because he just doesn't take crap off people. And
yeah.
Atlanta like to give you crap when they call in. We love when you guys call in. Give us crap about it. That's fine with me.
Yeah.
But it was cool to meet him. And Mark, I appreciate it. And I'll speak more on that on Thursday's show as well. But, yeah, just to recap, we got LSU over New Mexico State. We have Ole Miss over Memphis. Take South Carolina in the points over Missouri. Texas A&M over Arkansas. We've got Auburn over Louisiana Tech. Kentucky over Vanderbilt. We both got Georgia over Tennessee. Basically, if you're betting on SEC games, which is not legal in most states, make
yes.
sure you find a casino. There are many Native Americans around that will take your bets. Bet on the home teams this week because they're all going to win.
I don't know if I said this, but beware of those points with Georgia. 17 is a lot. It was 19 yesterday, and it dropped already to 17. That's a lot of points.
Yeah, don't take the points there. I'm going to throw that out. I don't feel good about it.
No. 34-24 is what I'm feeling.
Either take it straight up or take a halftime bet.
But Georgia doesn't usually hold a team to the point.
No.
That's just the way they like to do it. They're right at 20 points a game giving up on defense now with a shutout under their belt. So that should be a little bit of word of caution to you. If you're going to wager
yeah.
for a pack of profits.
But that's going to do it for us this week. Always awesome getting to hang out and talk SEC football. And we look forward to you guys calling in and being part of the show. And, you know, we'll try not to hang up on you. We've got a full of Ben and Bomb as well.
Oh, yeah.
And
Twitter.
Yeah.
If they have two E's.
At the Impact 99, we'll get me as well.
Mama Joe and Betty got a real nice farm.
But at 3 End Zone, we're going to hit up the show on Facebook as well. You know, hit us up. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks, Impact Media.
you're sweating in the show.